Many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3 to 16. 1 Timothy 5, 3 to 16. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, they should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give the people these instructions, so that no one may be open to blame. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list, for when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus, they bring judgment on themselves, because they have broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also busybodies who talk nonsense, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some have in fact already turned away to follow Satan. If any woman who is a believer has widows in her care, she should continue to help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. My theme for reflection is Family Matters, the Gospel of Care. Family Matters, the Gospel of Care. When I first moved into a new neighborhood in Edinburgh, and an elderly lady once waved from across the fence and said, "Pastor, if you ever get too busy to mow your lawn, I will tell God on you." We both laughed, but her comment stuck. It was a humorous reminder that in every community, people notice how we treat one another, especially those who can no longer help themselves. Paul's letter to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, 3 to 16 deals with this very human question. How do we care for one another across generations, responsibilities, and differences? Beneath his detailed instructions to Timothy about widows, older men and younger women lies a profound truth. The church is not a club of the like-minded, but a family of the redeemed. And families, as we all know, can be messy. Timothy's challenge was both pastoral and cultural. In the Ephesian church, divisions were growing. False teachers were confusing believers, and care structures were breaking down. Some widows were being neglected, others were taking advantage of church generosity. Younger believers were struggling with temptation and gossip, older members with pride or weariness. Paul's advice cuts through all that confusion with one guiding principle: honor each other as family. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as a father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. It is striking how Paul frames correction and care in familial terms. The church is not a corporation where authority flows down a chain of command. It is a home where love flows across generations. The way we speak to one another, the way we correct, teach, and serve should all carry the tenderness and respect of family life. Paul then turns to a practical crisis: the growing number of widows in the church. In the ancient world, widowhood was one of the most vulnerable states a person could experience. No husband meant no protection, no income, and often no social standing. Paul insists that the church must care for true widows, those completely alone, who set their hope on God and continue in prayer night and day. But he also reminds families of their first duty. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Here, Paul anticipates a problem we still face today: the temptation to outsource compassion. Governments and charities may provide social aid, but they can never replace the divine mandate of love. Whether in Africa, Asia, Europe, or the Americas, the spiritual health of any church or community can often be measured by how it treats its most vulnerable. The passage also highlights the wisdom of balance. The church should help widows but not create dependency. Younger widows, Paul says, should remarry and build their lives. God's care is both spiritual and practical. It sustains prayerful widows and empowers younger ones to start anew. There is something beautifully countercultural here. Paul refuses to define people by their lack. He defines them by their participation in God's ongoing story of grace. Widows are not burdens, they are witnesses. Families are not mere biological units, they are schools of divine compassion. The church at its best becomes the extended family of God, where each generation gives and receives in turn. John Stott once said, "Our love grows soft if it is not strengthened by truth, and our truth grows hard if it is not softened by love." That balances the heartbeat of this text: caring for others with both conviction and tenderness, where truth leads us to action and love sustains our witness. So the problem Paul addressed, neglect, disorder, and division, is resolved not through programs, but through renewed relationships. When we begin to see each other as fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters, we rediscover the gospel as a family story. The God who adopts us in Christ calls us to adopt one another in love. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, how does seeing the church as a family rather than an organization change the way you view your responsibility to others? Number two, are there widows around you, people overlooked or alone, whom God might be calling you to notice and care for? And now our practical exercise. Reach out today to someone older, widowed or isolated. Listen to their story, pray with them, or offer a practical act of kindness. Let love become your theology in motion. Father of the faithless and protector of widows, teach us to love as you love. Heal our indifference, soften our pride, and knit your family together in grace. Let our churches become homes where no one stands alone, and where every heart finds belonging in you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.